Focusing on that transfiguration story. Earlier in the chapter of Luke's Gospel, King Herod hears about the marvellous deeds of Jesus. Rumours have reached him that some people believe Jesus is John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others think he is the promised return of Elijah. Herod doesn't know what's going on, and he asks, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? Who is this?" One answer to Herod's question comes from Peter, a little bit earlier in the chapter. "You are the Messiah of God." But of course, to call Jesus Messiah raises more questions, because that meant different things to different people. As we know, the disciples don't understand the path that Jesus takes. And Judas in particular was perhaps looking for a different kind of Messiah who would do battle for the people. The Transfiguration account provides a different way of answering Herod's question. In it, Luke identifies Jesus in terms of Israel's past, foreshadows his death on the cross, and looks forward to his resurrected glory. Here is an Orthodox icon. Israel's past. Someone said, "We can only make sense of ourselves if the people who came before us are present in our struggle." Another South American quote. As Christian people, we look back and remember. We look back to our heritage as a congregation, as part of a particular Christian tradition. We look back on the history of the church, on the history of the people of Israel. We're part of that story. And at communion, as we share around the table, we look back to what Jesus did with his followers. And the Transfiguration story identifies Jesus with Moses and Elijah. They're often seen as representing the law and the prophets. But also Jesus is seen by some as the prophet like Moses. And Elijah's appearance was associated with coming of the day of the Lord. So their presence in the story points to Jesus fulfilling prophecies associated with Moses and Elijah, as well as the thought of Jesus as the fulfillment of Scripture. So looking back to Israel's past and linking Jesus with that. But also this transfiguration story foreshadows Jesus' death on the cross. When Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus, Luke tells us they were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, they were speaking of his journey to the cross, to death, to the glory seen in suffering and sacrifice. Jesus had already indicated to his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected. He will be put to death. And that those who wanted to follow him must be willing also to take up their cross. So perhaps this conversation with Moses and Elijah can be seen as confirmation that this is the path that Jesus must walk. So it looks back to the past. It looks forward to Jesus' death. But it also hints that death will not be the final word, for the dominant image is one of glory. So can we have the next slide, please, Sir Phyllis? It's a window from the Church of the Transfiguration in Massachusetts, the home of an ecumenical Christian community. Is it the transfigured Jesus, the risen Jesus? It's not telling the story. It's leading us to think about Christ's glory. Christ's arms are spread out on the cross, as it were, but also in a blessing. In the gospel, Jesus is transformed. His face shines like Moses' face. His clothes are dazzling white, like the angelic figures described elsewhere in Luke. But he's not just experiencing God's glory as Moses did, but he is the source of the divine glory. Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, it says in the passage. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory. So the story is showing us who Jesus is, in all these rather theological ways, you might say. But it also says something about the nature of discipleship. There's something there about community, for Jesus doesn't go alone up to the mountain. As at other key moments, he wants the support of his closest friends. And there he is, in this experience, with the heroes of the faith, Moses and Elijah. He's not alone. Faith is not just me and God, even for Jesus. We're part of the community of faith. We saw that Orthodox icon. In the Orthodox tradition, I understand that the focus of the Transfiguration story, as they interpret it, is on the disciples as those who are transfigured, because through this experience, they begin to understand who Jesus is. So perhaps we can have what I think is the last slide. As you can well see, this is not an Orthodox icon. It's an illustration from a website of scripture teaching. It's rather a Sunday school-like illustration, in my opinion. Rather prosaic, not much sense of wonder. Jesus appears to be just having a chat with Moses and Elijah rather than discussing anything very serious. Or perhaps I'm being a bit harsh. Perhaps the focus is on the disciples. Apart from the one on the left, we can't see their faces, but we can see their gestures. One is looking on in wonder, one is hiding his face. One is staring intently. So while it's not an image from the Orthodox Church, perhaps it does bring out the effect on the disciples rather than the experience of Jesus. And as at Jesus' baptism, there's a message from God, but this time for the disciples. This is my son, my chosen. And as emphasized, the disciples are told, listen to him. Jesus' sonship, not just a matter of abstract theology, but a call to listen to Jesus. Jesus is the one to follow. Jesus is the one who shows them God. And Jesus' teaching had been that the cost of discipleship was high. Perhaps that's the message that they're to listen to. And the voice at the baptism came from heaven. Here it comes from the cloud, which is enveloping the disciples, an experience of God's close presence. And the Transfiguration directs Jesus back to his ministry, back to his mission. The disciples want to stay. Peter wants to build booths for them all to stay on the mountaintop forever. But they are to go back. Like us, to go back to our lives, holding on to the experience of transfiguration as something to ponder, something which gives us a glimpse of the glory of God. As someone puts it, in between the transfiguration and the noisy streets of our lives, we continue in silence, trying to figure out the transfigured Jesus, knowing that we are part of this transfiguration. And that means that God will refigure our lives, our thinking, our actions, our plan. Perhaps at this time, as we are refiguring our church, it's a good time to reflect on the way that God transforms us and transfigures our lives as Christian people and as a community. Amen.